Would you put your hands together for Pastor Beth when she comes to preach?
Wow, how fantastic to be here with you at Real Life Church this morning. I have got so much personal conviction about what I'm about to share with you this morning, because I'm actually a recipient of what I'm about to preach about, and I've proved from my own experience that what I'm about to share is it's a very, very powerful tool that every single one of us has in our hearts, our mouths and our hands this morning. So would you this morning join with me as I pray, because I believe there's something in this message for every single person in the room. And so all you need to say is, yes, Lord, here I am. Okay? So, Father, we just commit this message to you, Lord. Thank you because you gave it to me. And I know that it's important that every heart would receive the freedom and, Father, that what you have in mind for every person in this room. So I pray blessing. I pray that hearts would be receptive and open to hear what you have to say this morning in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Well, last week on Friday, Rod and I were at a very beautiful wedding. And it was such a lovely day of celebration for the couple. And throughout the wedding and the reception, there were kind of these continual jokes and references to a particular part of a physical feature that the groom had that was completely out of his control. He'd been born like that. And what happened, even though it was such a beautiful day and such a great celebration, what happened was that kindness was sacrificed for the sake of humour. Words were spoken at that very important day that can never be reversed. They can never be taken back. And so all for the rest of this guy's life, when he should have heard words of life spoken over him, he was put down in a vain effort to be funny. And I too experienced the power of words on my wedding day. Now, many of you know that I was phenomenally blessed to have the most wonderful, wonderful dad on the planet. And he was just such an incredible encourager in my life. But he was also an extrovert. And so he made entrances into places. He didn't just walk in. And for those of you who know him, you know what I'm talking about. And so when my wedding was due to happen, I sat down with Dad and I said, Dad, look, I know you love to give speeches and I know, you know, you love to go on. I said, but for my wedding today, you know, for the wedding that's coming up, I said, please don't talk too long or tell endless stories about yourself. And, you know, please respect my wishes for this day. Well, what do you think he did? He completely ignored. You were there, Rochelle. You remember. He went for way too long. He told too many stories and he really embarrassed me. And for many years after that, I was so hurt by what he'd done. And it was a sad memory that replayed in my mind. Now, let me just say at this point that the good weighs so far outweighed the bad. And it never spoiled my relationship in any way with him, but it was a sadness. So, in one day, think about this. We speak a lot of words. There would be cheeky people in the room that say some particular sex speaks a lot more words than others, but we won't talk about that subject. And we have lots of conversations with people. But so often the words that we speak to one another, we don't really give a lot of thought to them. We just say stuff. And we don't think about the effect that our words have on others. We don't, sometimes we have the best intentions, but we spit them out, and later we think, maybe I shouldn't have said that like that in that way. And today at Real Life Church, on the 12th of January 2020, I want to launch our year here and talk to you about the subject of speaking on purpose. Speaking on purpose, or another way of saying it is speaking intentionally. Let me explain what I mean. In James 3, verse 2, it says, "For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things, he is a fully developed and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature." Think about that. According to this scripture, the one thing proving our level of spiritual maturity isn't how religious we are. It isn't about whether we can quote copious amounts of scriptures. It isn't about the good works that we do. No, scripture tells us in James 3:2, it's the words that come from our mouths. Whoa, that's something to think about. James 1:26, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and does not bridle his tongue, but he deludes his own heart, this person's religious service, wait for this, is worthless, futile, and barren. Whoa. No matter how religious we may think we are, the truest test, according to Scripture in James, is whether we can restrain and control our tongue. So for every person in this room this morning, this subject, if you will take it seriously as the Word challenges us to do, will set the tone for you for 2020. Because let me just tell you how crucial this whole idea is. Because our mind, our mouth, our moods, and our attitudes are all connected. They all interlink. So let me explain it like this. A negative thought leads to speaking out negative words. Those negative words then affect our mood and it can begin to sink. We then get a bad attitude, which affects our thinking and believing, and then the whole vicious cycle starts all over again. Yeah. And you know, it's possible to choose to live our whole lives in this perpetual cycle. And we can so easily, without even realizing with our words, we can so easily shut each other down by what we say to one another and the tone that we use. The Word of God says in Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Now, if I was to go around the room this morning, and it's fabulous to see so many of you here with us, and ask each one of you to recall things that were said to you through your childhood, I could tell you some from my childhood, and I believe many of us could recount negative, hurtful words spoken to us, maybe by our own parents or grandparents, maybe by school teachers, maybe from our peers from those early years. Anybody going to give me? Yeah. Yeah? And you know they can still ring in our minds. Yeah? It's almost like we replay them. We can, over and over and over and over. And I have listened, because I do pastoral care, I have listened to the challenges that people face in their relationships. And one of the most common breakdowns is the tone and the way that we communicate with one another. And what I mean by this is think about the sort of approach. Think about the language, Think about the volume and the tone that you speak to those in your world that you love and care about. Before one single word comes out of your mouth, think about how you're going to actually speak to those that you love. Hey, David, can you get out here and help me with this? Like, you're so ridiculous. I thought you'd know that I need your help. Come on, come out here now. What do you think about that? Pastor David, can you please come out and help me? I'd really would appreciate your assistance today. James 3, 5 to 6. The tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. A great forest, how applicable to what we're going through in Australia right now. A great forest can be set on fire by one tiny spark. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is full of wickedness and poisons every part of the body. And the tongue is set on fire by hell itself and can turn our whole lives into a blazing flame of destruction and disaster. The tongue has no bones, but it is strong enough to break a heart. So be very careful with your words. So I want to get on the solution side of this subject by showing you the power that you have within you to call out the greatness in every single person that you are in fellowship with in this room this morning. Because calling out the greatness is countercultural to the world that we're living in. What's happening is, through all sorts of different ways, we seem to think that if we encourage, that if we praise a person too much, it's going to go to their head. We love nothing better than to find ways of joking about, of mocking, of bringing each other down, the tall poppy syndrome, in the name of comedy and humour. Yeah? But that is completely contrary to God's word. Because God's word says to us that we are called to be his people and build one another up in our most holy faith. To spur each other on to greatness. To be all that God has destined each one to be. In fact, scripture talks about stirring up the gifts that are within us. Every single person in this room has unique gifting that was given by a loving creator. And you're the only one that can bring that gift to our church. Nobody else has been designed uniquely to have the same gifting that you have. And if you don't bring your gift, then we're lacking. There's something missing at Real Life Church. And what vehicle do you think God designed us with to be able to stir up the God-given gifts each one was created with? What does God talk about all through his word, particularly in James? He talks about the power of the tongue. Because his vehicle to speak words of life, to call out the greatness, to see each other through God's eyes, to speak to each other on purpose and with intentionality, is our words, our mouths, our tongue. The vehicle to speak words of life, to call out the greatness, to see each other through God's eyes. And the way that we do this, the way God planned and intended it, is through our words. Creative words that create life and bring out the destiny and the calling in each other that we're meant to operate and walk in. Amen? So, Pastor Ned last week touched on this subject for those of you who weren't here. He talked about when we meet together, we should come with the intention to encourage. Who remembers? Who was here last week? And the purpose to speak life over people. And he encouraged us to ask God for a prophetic word for anyone who may be going through a difficult time. And, you know, we've had some people in our congregation in the last few weeks and months who have lost life partners. We've had others who have family members who have major health issues, huge struggles with cancer, and others who have addictions of different sorts. There are just a few issues. There are so many issues that people are battling with today. And, you know, we come here every week and we put on our Sunday clothes and we all look so squeaky clean, but everybody has a battle going on. Everyone has stuff going on that they're struggling with. And we can play church, but, oh, I hope we don't ever do that. I hope we don't ever do that. I hope we live up to the reputation of the name of our church, which is real. Yeah? So, we're all crying out inside for words of life, of hope, faith, and just a simple arm, sometimes no words. In fact, I said that to somebody this morning. I said, no words, just a hug. That's why last week when I asked you all to go around greeting one another, I said, don't just be light and superficial, but be intentional in really asking people, how are you? How are you going? And speaking kindness and encouragement into their circumstances. Now, this can be so crucial when we're going through difficult times. So many years ago, I was going through a particularly difficult time with a member from my mum's side of the family. Please note that it wasn't my dad's side of the family. And the relationship was very fractured and I was at a complete loss as to how to repair it. I was doing all of the textbook biblical strategies that we all know how to do, but nothing seemed to be working, and I was so desperate. I was crying out to the Lord this one Sunday in church, and I was saying, Lord, help me. I really don't know what to do. Help me. And we had a prayer time in church, and this guy who was just a few rows behind me, he comes up to me, and he says this. He says, Bethwyn, God is asking you to speak to the dry bones of relationships in your life and to cause them to live again. And all you need to do is to start to declare over those dry bones that they're going to live again. Now, it's not within your power to change your circumstance, but it is well within God's supernatural ability and power to be able to bring them to life again. That was like, oh, that was a word in season, that was medicine for my heart and soul, that caused me to go from despair to hope and faith. It took me from a place of hopelessness to a place of hopefulness. And that was such an answer, such an encouragement. And you know, today, right here, right now, on the 12th of January 2020, we have exactly the same opportunity to do those sorts of things. And so what happened was I just started in faith to declare that the dry bones of that terrible broken relationship would start to live again, that relationship would be restored, even though it just looked so hopeless. And over the next 18 months, it was slowly restored. Several years later, I saw the same man who'd given me that word at a state conference. And I was able to go up to him and say to him, thank you so much for what you said to me. And I was able to testify and tell him how God had restored that relationship to me. Now, you may have noticed that I often call you champions and winners. Anybody notice that? Okay. Well, you know, one of the main reasons that I am so deliberate about doing that, and because I and why I do it all the time, is because I am the recipient of a dad that told me I was a champion nearly every single day of my life until he went off to heaven to be with Jesus. And I can testify to you the fact that when you've had that sort of encouragement, it affects how you see yourself and who you become as a person. Now, some of you here this morning have actually had a stunted growth in who you're really meant to be because you have had words of death spoken over your life and not words of life. And there are many of you sitting there today who have allowed those negative words to ring in your ears, and there is a stunting of your growth and the calling on your life because you've allowed yourself to believe those negative words, those lies, over the truth of what God says about you and who He's called you to be. And this morning, the Spirit of God is wanting to break that off you. He's saying, I want you to live. I want you to walk with your head held high according to what I have called you to be, not what has been told that you can't do. But I'm telling you that you can do all things through Christ who gives you His ability and His strength. Amen? All of us have these facades and masks. But you know, we're all fragile, we're all vulnerable, and we need to be respected and treated with the utmost care. And one simple, intentional word of encouragement is described like this in Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. It's kind of poetic, isn't it? Don't you love it? I'm going to read it again. I love it. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Speaking words with purpose has the power to change the way a person manages their whole life. Every single one of us here this morning need a cheer team. We need people around us in our circles of friendship and influence who have our back, who even maybe when we stuff up and say and do the wrong thing, they've still got our back. That they don't disqualify us from the race, but they say, come on, love covers, let's move on. Yeah? And we need unconditional love. I don't know about you, but I could spend the rest of the day telling you all of the things that I have failed at, all of my mistakes and all of the things, my humanity and my weaknesses. But I need a team of people who are going to say, Bethwyn, we know, but we love you anyway. Yeah? Now, please don't interpret what I am saying this morning as that you all have to walk around being these mamby-pamby, sickly sweet, lovey-doveys, okay, because I'm not talking about that, okay? Please don't do that. It's awful. What I'm talking about is it's great to have some humour and jokes in our friendships, yeah? In fact, I love so many people in this church because they've just got great senses of humour and they're really pretty naughty at times, not mentioning any names, Lisa. And as I said earlier, that at times we can sacrifice kindness for the sake of humour. Cynicism, I hate cynicism. And harsh judgments have no place in the kingdom of God. None. We can't bring cynicism into this community. It destroys our faith, Real Life Church. It tears us down. It's divisive. It disempowers what God is trying to build here in this house. Please, please don't bring cynicism into this community of believers. So let's get really practical this morning, because you might be sitting here thinking, yeah, it's fabulous, it's great. I have no idea what to do with what she's saying. I don't have any idea how to make this a part of my everyday life. It certainly was not my experience to have people cheering me on. You know, I don't even relate to what she's saying. Well, here this morning, I want to give you three tips, okay? Three tips. And even if you apply one, we'll be doing well. And the first one is this. Be deliberate with what you fill yourself with. Now, Ned last week encouraged those who speak in tongues to try and commit to do it for 10 minutes every day. Who tried doing it for 10 minutes? I did. I actually put the timer on and I thought, I am going to really take what Ned said, not in a legalistic way, but in a spurring me on way, and I'm going to absolutely be deliberate about speaking in tongues this week. Now, if you don't speak in tongues, the purpose of speaking in tongues is to build us up in our faith. It's really, really great. And so if you are a person and you've come to faith in Jesus but you don't speak in tongues yet, then you can see your connect group leader, you can see your youth pastor, you can see your leadership team, and we can organise for a prayer time to pray for you to receive the gift of speaking in tongues. Okay? Now, there's so many other ways of filling yourself up with God. You can listen to podcasts from inspiring preachers and teachers online. For example, T.D. Jakes, Christine Kane, Steve Furtick, Brian Houston, Bill Johnson, just to name a few. You can get a daily devotional and commit to reading scripture every day, even if it's only a page or a few chapters to start with if you're new to faith. When you're by yourself, start declaring the word of God over your life. Do it out loud. Speak it out loud. It will build the inner strength and confidence, spiritual confidence inside of you. Tip number two. Ask the Holy Spirit to change your mindset so that you see people and situations the way God sees them. Well, all I can see is all that person isn't. Well, ask God to see people through his eyes. Not all their faults and their failings and their stuff-ups, but focusing in on all the things that are good about them, not all the things that are wrong about them. Choose to see all the gifts that they bring to this house, to this church, and how without them here, as I said before, we would be lacking as the body of Christ. Tip number three, I want to keep it really simple this morning, because if we make it too complex, the truth is none of us will do it. So let's just keep it simple. And that is, start with small baby steps. So if this concept of encouraging and building up is completely new to you, you think, oh, this is way too hard for me. I'm shy, I'm introverted, I'm not comfortable with this. Then just start using small steps to reach the greater goal. Set your heart and mind to do it intentionally. You may cringe at first. You may find it embarrassing at first. But push through that initial fear. Make a start, a small start, and have a go, yeah? Now, I have a personal goal as one of your pastors at Real Life Church. And my goal is to use my words to call out the greatness in each and every one of you this year in 2020. To speak on purpose into your hearts and minds so that you see yourself as God sees you. That you believe right down deep inside what God says about you. You see, because when I look at every one of you here this morning, I see you as what you can be, not necessarily who you are right now. And one of the attributes of a healthy church is where its people, that's you and me, experience meaning and purpose as they are given the opportunity to share their God-given gifts. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. And so many of you here are already doing what I'm speaking about this morning. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it. And you know, my eyes tell me that there is greatness all over this room. And I am committed, as one of your pastors, to be calling the greatness that I see in you, out of you, for 2020 and for however long God calls us here.